As lawmakers in Washington try to strike a deal on another coronavirus economic relief package, the European Union is one step ahead. After 4 days of talks, EU leaders agreed on a new budget, including a rescue plan of about $860 billion in U.S. dollars. It's the biggest joint borrowing plan the bloc has ever agreed to, and it's being described as a pivotal moment for Europe. But it wasn't easy to get this deal. For more, let's talk with Robin Farzad. He is the host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure on member station VPM. And Robin, again, this is a major spending package. Give us the details. What does it include? And
I just want to get it straight. You sure you want to talk about European fiscal policy after you interviewed Jim Carrey?
Look, yes, I do.
All right.
But that's a good note to make.
Yeah, you
but
mentioned
tell us what
it.
Does so, this include? Yeah.
So about 750 billion euro package, half of which is going to be in the form of grants, which was pretty contentious because you have a continent, all of it is in deep economic decline, but you have on balance takers and givers. So the European Commission, which is the executive branch of the EU, it's aiming here to boost the recovery by allowing weaker players like Italy, Spain, Greece, and others to have more government spending without hitting at national debt levels. So without the bailout plan, there was this worry that Italy and others would collapse. You'd have a cleanup scenario afterwards, which would be a lot harder than getting in front of the situation now.
It also took several days of tense negotiations to reach this agreement. I mean, I'm guessing because it's a huge amount of money, but why was it so hard to get a final deal?
Yeah, you had the fiscally prudent, the industrious economies. They're kind of leery of bailing out the D students of Europe, if you will, like Italy, Ireland, Greece, and Spain. In the end, though, I think that they realized that biting the bullet, and there were 20 hours of negotiations, it seems preferable to a meltdown and cleanup later. You know, they're still riding the PTSD of what happened in 2010 and 2011.
Is every member state satisfied with this deal?
I'd say satisfied is an overstatement. If you look at the fiscally conservative bloc, which pretty much is led by the Netherlands, they fought for loans, not grants. They're leery of having to sell this idea of a wealth transfer union because that could end up boosting the right wing at home. And there's also, on the other end, like Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, he opposes disbursement to a member country's being tied to democratic principles. He has more strongman tendencies. So this is by no means a monolithic continent.
Yeah. I want to ask you about another story we're following. LinkedIn announced that it will lay off about 960 people. That's about 6% of its workforce. What does this tell you about the demand for hiring right now?
I mean, no doubt, professional headhunting, white-collar labor, it's definitely taken a hit. I'm surprised, though, in that Microsoft owns LinkedIn and it barely registers on its income statement. Microsoft is worth $1.6 trillion. It paid $26 billion for LinkedIn. So, I mean, it's rough across the board, but everybody has to make the ends meet.
Yeah, with the 30 seconds I have, there's also something else that's happening. So a controversial economist is one step closer to joining the board of the Federal Reserve. Tell us who she is and why it's significant.
Yeah, Judy Shelton is one of these traditional people who believes in tying monetary policy to gold. She's out there maybe being viewed as reactionary. And if you add her to the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, there's this worry that if Donald Trump gets a second term, he'll be able to replace Jerome Powell, who he's not been thrilled with the reactionary. So that remains to be seen.
Robin Farzad is host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure on member station VPM. Thank you.